Gemara for the moment. I'll come back to Tosos, especially Shua. It's coming a little late. He has to give us Chaburn and Tiyas. So I don't know if we'll get to it today, to come back to that Tosos. That's one of those Tosos I would like to focus more on. We fought about last week. I just want to state for the record that, as I acknowledge when I make a mistake and I'm wrong, and I believe it's an important point, so I thank Mr. Schleien for being Zerbo. I don't even remember which particular angle he was arguing, but he was Hoserbo. So if you learn to do that from me, I'm proud. If you do that on your own, I'm proud too. All right. So anyway, we were up to the next part of Rav Papa, which is interesting also. Parts of it are conceptually really, really important. It's not our sugi. Primarily, we'll deal with it briefly. But again, these are major inyanim in terms of Choshen Mishpat, in terms of a She'ela, the Chiv of She'ela, and so on. And Lot Shas is interconnected. So I don't know that you remember, you didn't necessarily know this because you didn't necessarily look up the Gemara, but you remember there was a Gemara said that a Chosein Parasa Shel Chaver is Loken Mishalem, right? So Zakasha, what do you mean? So what were the answers? There are actually three answers, but we only mentioned two. What were the two answers we mentioned? So Abaye said, Rabbi Merhi, that Loka Mishalem, Loka Mishalem. Rava said, Esnasa Torah, Afilo Bal Imo, that in a Hanami, you only chay Malkos, but you're really supposed to pay Mamon, just based it won't make you do it. There was a third Teretz, that was Rav Papa, but you didn't look it up. I think maybe you did look it up. I looked it up, the Gemara, and I saw Rav Papa gave a third Teretz, but I didn't stop to think what it meant. But when I saw the Gemara here and Rashi made a reference, I realized immediately what Rav Papa was stating, and it becomes obvious, which is, tell me something. If I take your para, I work with it all day, and I don't feed it. I don't muzzle it. I'm supposed to feed it. Right? That's part of the terms. Animal works with me for the day. You know, you get the rent. The animal gets to eat. Right? Let's say I'm working something where there's no ish of losasom. Losasom only applies in limited context. It has to be dumya de disha. Right? If the shoots are still growing from the ground and the food is not fully finished yet, I'm allowed to muzzle the ox and not let it eat there. There's no issur of that. It has to be dafka of gedisha. There are parallels, by the way. They're not exactly the same between being chosei mishor and being chosei mepoel. Right? You know what the din of being chosei mepoel is? It's called poel ochel min haTorah. There are two psukim in Parshas Kiseitze at the end of Perek Chaf Gimel, I think. Chaf Gimel or Chaf Dalet. Ki savo v'cherem re'echa v'achaltan avim k'nafshecha savecha v'elkel yuchal lo sitein. Lest one think that this is rishus to walk into someone's vineyard and consume the grapes, as long as you eat them there and don't put it in your sack and take them out. So Unklus translates ki savo v'cherem re'echa is ki titagar. If you're hired to work in your friend's vineyard, so you're allowed to eat from the produce either when it's mechuber lakarka but b'shas gemar malacha, or when it's talush min hakarka kodum gemar malacha, meaning when it's mechuber lakarka and the fruits are fully grown and just time to harvest it, or once you detach it from the ground before you reach the chiyuv of trumas and maisos, meaning gemar malacha of the pri, which is by grain, for example, is called, what is the gemar malacha to be mechayev grain in trumas and maisos? No. That's Miruch HaKri. Smoothing out the pile after you've threshed it and went on it, so you're left with just with the kernels of wheat. Miruch HaKri literally means like to smooth out the pile. Right, that's the Gemara Malacha. So up until that point, a poel can eat. So there are probably some, I don't know if the exact analogies are exact, certainly the Musar, the morality seems to be parallel between the poel ochel min haTorah, as we call it, and the losachsom shor b'disha. So let me come bring the point back. Supposing when I rent your ox to work for the day, whether or not it's working in things where losachso mashayach or not, I'm chayav to feed the animal. So Rav Papa says the following: just because you were chosem in one particular part of the day in Isser, what does that have to do with your obligation to feed the animal? When does my obligation to feed the animal come from? Mishashela. I bar the animal. At this point, I'm obligated to feed your animal. The fact that I happened to violate an Issur Torah during one point where there was an opportunity for your animal to eat and it would have been, that would have come out of my pocket in a sense, that doesn't do away with my obligation to feed your animal. So if I don't feed your animal during the, when I'm violating the Sach, so I have to feed a different part of the day. If I'm chosen the animal at a part that, at a point of the day which I'm allowed to be chosen the animal, does that mean therefore I'm pato on the Tashlumin? No, it's not a punishment. I'm obligated to feed your animal. What does that have to do with whether or not I violated Lo Sachso? If I ate chazir while I was working with your animal, do we say, oh, is somebody going to say, ah, so you know you're pata from feeding the animal because come up the rabbim, you know. That's ridiculous. What's that?
Yeah.
Touche. Okay. So the point is that's what Rav Papa says. Rav Papa says is very, what Rav Papa says is mistaber. Rav Papa says is even more mistaber. It's really mistaber.
Like Zach said, Zarishah Halcherim Mishalova Karashiran Shalchavira.
No. But the difference, so that's why Rav Papa has to say, Mishah Shelahu Dischayev. In other words, when I, as soon as I borrow the ox, that's a contractual obligation to feed it. The fact that I don't feed it at this point of day. What's that? Hanukkah is this week, not Purim. Okay.
No, seriously, like our whole, like we spent so long like figuring out like how this.
No. Sheila is not Tzorah Chasima. The assumption is, you know. Come on.
Seriously.
You're stretching credulity here. No. You can. I can go steal.
I can steal your ox,
be chosem it, and use it for a moment. That my thing. Not long enough to that would even do a lot of work. And if I like this,
there I say. If I steal your ox, I don't know the answer to this question. If I steal your ox and then I return it, am I chayav to pay for the food that I didn't feed it?
If I worked it, yes. But not. I wouldn't say no. The answer is no. I'm not obligated to it. But if this kachash, I'm chayav. But if I stole your animal, you know, and used it for 2 minutes, we really there's no kachash of the animal. Let's say I stole the animal so I could show us off to some other guy how wealthy I am. I have these animals. So the animal. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't work hard at all. It takes a stroll, right? So I'm not chayav to pay mama on that. I know. I think when you figure it out, you'll see there's no connection. It's not. Okay. So anyway.
I mean, it's okay for Papa Skolik on Ravaji, but like.
He is anyway there. He is the previous Teretz. I mean, maybe we don't know if he's really arguing. I'm not going to rehash this whole issue. Okay. So anyway. So comes along Rav Papa and says the following. Who would like to read for me? Yadin. Since you probably won't talk today, so you can read now.
Can I take a pass?
You may. Sorry. Adir, did you just read, right?
Yeah.
I just made you read. Yeah. Okay. Moshe, go ahead. Have you ever gone to Camp Stone?
What?
Have you ever worked in Camp Stone?
No.
No, you have a spirit of volunteerism. I think that you would be much.
He's not here. It's so not. No
what's that?
It's possible to be a victim that you
could. Okay. Fine. Go ahead.
Where are we up to?
Amar Papa Haisa Para.
I love this. The line is such a great response here. Okay, go ahead. Amar Papa Hoysa Paraganu Lo Utvacha Bishadis. By the Gimel on the Mesaras Hashas, if you have the Ozvahadar. Gimel with one parenthesis.
So there you go.
Amar Papa Hoysa Paraganu Lo Utvacha Bishadis. Chayev, Shekvar Nischayev, Begneva, Kodem Shiyabalei Dei Yisur Shabbos. Haisa Parashula Lo, Betabcha B'Shabbos, Pater.
By the way, just as a parenthetical point, Pater from what?
You are Pater from paying for the Dal Behei?
No Dal Behei by Shavula. Okay, you know, the only time you pay Dal V'Hei is when you pay Kefel. The only time you pay Kefel is if either you steal it or you're towing Tainas Geneva, towing Tainas Gana by Yashor Machinim. The only times you play Kefel. If Mamon is Bala Rishusi Beheter, there is no discussion of Kefel, and therefore there's no discussion of Dal V'Hei either. I mean, same issue. You weren't going even. Now, so why is he Pater from the Nezek to the animal? He's Pater Because what?
Because it was on Shabbos.
Says come over the Ravamine. Now, Amar Lei, before you even say this, let me make an observation, which the Gemara will make in a couple of moments. But just think about it. Why would you think he's not Pater on Shabbos? I mean, isn't it obvious on some level he's Pater on Shabbos? He was Tovayachar on Shabbos. So what's the difference between the case of Haisa Parasha Ulala Utvacha B'Shabbos versus when I walk into your house on your cattle pen on Shabbos and I shecht an animal right then? And let's say I botched the Shechita, so it's an Avela. Right? Am I chayiv there? I walked into your house on your cattle pen on Shabbos, pull out my knife with pigimos in it, and I slaughter an animal. Am I chayiv to pay? No, it's obviously kamei rabim yinei. So why would she'ula be different? Here at least I had rights to have the animal. Why would she'ula be different? I know the Gemara said, you should realize this immediately. The what? There was nothing, you didn't do anything wrong before Shabbos. Yeah, when you do the She'ela, one might think, that you're chayiv right then to cover the cost. Now, what's mechayiv you when something happens to the Shor later was the She'ela. And therefore, you would think it doesn't matter the fact that you made it impossible, the fact that the damage happened on Shabbos is irrelevant. Right? What's mechayiv you is the fact that you can't pay it back. The fact that you can't pay it back, that chiyuv stems from the fact that you borrowed it, and now you're not paying it back. When does that chiyuv come? The answer for the moment, I would have thought, is b'shas shela. Apparently not. Even though you were sh'ula me'er of Shabbos, and that's the whole crucial point in Rapapa's statement on some level. Why does it matter whether it was sh'ula lo me'er of Shabbos or sh'ula on Shabbos? And the words of Pharisee does not say it that way, but that's what it means. Is that if you borrow it on Shabbat, well, I guess no, you should, it has to be dafka, it doesn't matter when you were shoal it, actually, the truth be told. Because borrowing itself can create the chiyuv on Shabbos. Why can borrowing itself create the chiyuv on Shabbos? When we say, haisa la para genuva, utvacha b'Shabbos, when did the geneva take place?
Before.
And when we say Gana v'tavach b'Shabbos, what does that mean? You did a geneva with a malacha. It doesn't really matter whether or not when the geneva took place. Oh, so you can say the same thing with Shayla. All that matters is whether the geneva itself took place in a manner that you say come le rabbi. This is true. The same thing could be true with Shoah. If I'm Moshech from your Rishus b'Shayla and you have Meshicha b'Shomim like you have Meshicha by Kinyanim, and therefore the same thing as geneva. So if I'm Shoah it on Shabbos in a way that I'm a Chal on Shabbos, in a Hanami, why would I be Potter for sure when I did Tevicha later? Because Meman of Shach, what is Mechayim me? Either the She'ela or the Tevicha, and both of them took place with Chilul Shabbos. But if it was She'ula lo Me'er of Shabbos, or if you borrowed on Shabbos in a manner where you're not Mechal Shabbos, so then, theoretically, it's possible that I'm Mechayim in the She'ela, and there it doesn't matter that the Tevicha takes place on Shabbos. This is where Papa the Gemara is going to say is coming to tell you, no. Yes, Zach.
Is that the start that you can
No, in Geneva, if there's no Geneva, there's no Tzvicha Mechira, is Exeris HaKasif, the Dalet V'Hamar Rachmanov and Logimov V'Dalet. And if I am Pater, I'm paying for the Geneva, for whatever the reason, therefore I can't, based on Islam Mechayim, me to pay Gimov V'Dalet.
Can I say that, if you say that by the time you're Mishchayim V'Unsin, by the time of Geneva, so therefore really when you do the Tzvicha, that's when you were Chayim V'Unsin. So if it's Kimi Ramanin by Geneva, so then you'd be Pater.
Okay, fine, but in this case it doesn't matter because Chilul Shabbos, if it's on Shabbos, takes place with both. You'll see why that's important in the last Teretz of Tosfos. Okay. So anyway, so now the Gemara says the following. This wins the funny line for Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Maybe for all of Daf Lamed Aleph. Yes, John?
Can you just clarify the point that you made, why it doesn't matter when you did?
The key point is, it's not so much when you did the geneva, but if you did the geneva in a manner that you were on Shabbos, where you were chayiv misa for the geneva because you did b'chal Shabbos, that we dealt in a previous sugya, if you were moshech v'yotzei, so the geneva and chil Shabbos takes place at the same time. So that's what Rapapa said in the previous statement with the gedi. How he said gedi dono lo me'er of Shabbos, right? A gedi dono lo means me'er of Shabbos in the sense that it could be stolen on Shabbos too. as long as you don't violate Mechal Shabbos when you steal it. If you steal it in a manner that you're not Mechal Shabbos, where you're not doing Hotzah, so then you're chayiv on the Karen and the Kefil, theoretically. And then you could be chayiv on the Dal V'Hei for Rabbah and Rabbi Meir, because Rabbah claims that according to Meir, you don't say Kol Meir Rabbi by Knas, only by Mammon. Whereas if I steal the animal on Shabbos, and in a manner that I'm a Mechalo Shabbos, and then I shecht it on Shabbos, Mimonoshach, whichever way you want to view the Mechayiv on the Geneva, is it the stealing of the object, or when I make it impossible to return the object, but end, either way, you're being Mechalo Shabbos in the process. That's what I'm saying. There's no matter when you want to attribute the Chiv of Karen to, when I steal it, or when I make it impossible for me to return the object as is, either way, both of those actions take place through Chilo Shabbos. One is the Geneva through Hotzah, and the other is Tvicha Mechira. Tvicha, excuse me. Yes, no?
The Geneva needs to take place through Hotzah.
Or in some manner that you Mechal Shabbos. Otherwise, you Chai. In other words, if you steal on Shabbos in a manner, if you stay within the Erev and you steal, you hold up a gun to someone's head, you take their wallet, you know, or you, I should say, you sneak in and you steal their stuff when they're not looking, you know, on Shabbos, and you don't, you're within the Eruv, so, because of course you would never carry without an Eruv, but you would steal his stuff. So then, you're, of course you have to pay. Karen, Kefel, Fetchayach, and so on and so forth. Okay. So now, go ahead. Amar Lei.
Amar Lei Rabacha, Breed Rabba, Rabashi.
Question. Oh, first Rav Papa told us a din by a goat. Now he'll tell us the same din by a cow. What's next?
An
ox. It'll be a sheep. Well, yes, gone of low. Right? I mean, it's good chazara. You know, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah I just encountered. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It's a good musar. And I normally would not interrupt it. You should know, understand its importance. I can find my Avodah Zarah. Maybe someone burned the Avodah Zarah. Okay, where is it? Sanhedrin Makos. Here we go. Shavuos. Is it in that one? No, it's got to be in a different one, but I can't see it. Ah, here it is. It's got its own volume with the Mesechtas Ketanos, the Zutos. The importance of Chazara. So in Daf Yutes, I'm in Aleph, I believe. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna. Maidich Siv, Hon me hevel yimat v'kobeta yad yarbeh. Im osa adam taraso chavilos, misma'ed, v'im kovet al yad yarbeh, which means if you have long strings and you learn one thing and then you learn the next and learn the next, you don't laugh very much. But if you make it into handfuls, kovet al yad, and you go over and over and over, you learn a little bit, but you chaser and chaser and chaser, then you wind up with a lot in the end. That's what it clearly means in the context of the Gemara. Rashi says, well, I should say that. Right now, he explains it a little differently. Chavit Zavayim means you learn large sections, and you can't really chazer it effectively.
Yeah.
But that means that you go on and on and on, and before you do chazara. As a Kobe Tzayadeber, you do small things, and you chazer and chazer and chazer. So, Amar Rava says, Yadi Rabbanon Lahamilsa V'Avri Allah. The Rabbanon, the Talmidim, know this din, but they violate it anyway. A colleague of mine, or Hirsch, you know Hirsch, once told me, a pshati, her name is Rebbe, Haser Satan Milfaneinu Me'acharenu. So I understand what Haser Satan Milfaneinu is, but what do you mean Me'acharenu? He said, refers to Talmud Torah. Haser Satan Milfaneinu is, you learn it, you shouldn't make mistakes, whatever else, and you should be able to understand Haser Me'acharenu is the Yetzirah that encourages you not to do Chazara. So, anyway, so, Rav Papa, Paralas Lashmina? Maybe he wanted to do Chazara. But, okay, the assumption is not in this context. Not in this context. The Rebbe is not supposed to teach the same thing in different ways. You teach the same one principle. The Talmidim's job is to Chazar. Fine. So, Rav Papa, Paralas Lashmina? Amar Le. Amar Le,
Rav Papa.
No. Amar Le, comma. It's not Rav Papa talking.
Oh, yes.
Amar Le. Rav Papa, Sheula Asalashmina. He was teaching us the din of Sh'ula. That really was the Chiddush. What was the Chiddush in Sh'ula? Salka Daita Chamina.
Hoel Amar Papa Mishas Mashicha who Dischayev
Le Mizonose. Mizonose, huh? Hachanami.
Mishat Sheila Ischayev Beonseh. Kamash Malam.
That the Shtachiev on the Onsen comes when the Ones happens. And the thing that makes the object unreturnable, and in this case, when the onis, in quotes, happens, that makes the object unreturnable, that's actually the shtricha, which is the shas chil shabbos. Where did Rav Papa say mishas meshicha dischayev levim zonoseha? So that's what I explained to you just before. This is Rav Papa's explanation why chosim parasa shel chavero is loka and mishalim bebeisdin. It's mechayev in both. Malchus for losachzom, mamon, because it's a contractual obligation that he became obligated when he first took the ox before he violated the losachzom.
So why is it different? And why is it not chayv
on tin? So if we were doing that were our topic, we'd have to focus on it. But here we'll just talk about it for a very, very. In other words, that's why I said this really opens up a whole thing of shomer. Right, now, what are the various chiyuvim? So I think that the answer is that I think the simple explanation is way I explained before, which is that when I borrow an animal, it's understood at the outset that I have to pay to feed the animal. That's a vaday obligation, there's no question about it. And therefore, it's obvious why you might say that goes back to Shah Shela. But when an ones happens, I don't necessarily anticipate an ones happening. And therefore, it may very well be that the way we view it is that the chiyuv only comes when the onus happens to the animal. That's all. One could have seen it, since it's a contractual obligation to pay should something happen, that it goes back to the time of the shela. So that's what Rav Papa says no.
Moshe? Could you explain the reason why it doesn't go back to the shah shela? Because it's a different kind of chiyuv. It's not like a contractual chiyuv, but it's really more like you're actually acquiring the animal.
Your svara might be correct. I will tell you why I am reluctant to say it's not a contractual chiyuv, which is that Rabbi Meir, in our Masechta, that some of you know, in the fourth perek, says that Masla Masha Kasa B'Torah Afilu B'Davar Shabamamon Tanel Batal. Rabbi Meir doesn't allow Mekadesh Yisisha Almanash Ein Alay Sherek Sosfa'ona. So Rabbi Meir says that she's a Mekudeshas and he's chayav in all three things. Rabbi Yehuda says Medavar Shebamam Tano Kayim. But one place that Rabbi Meir is Modeh, that Masna Shomer Sochar Lios Potter like a Shomer Chinam, and Masna Shoel to be like an Osei Sochar, to be Potter and Onsen, which suggests that Rabbi Meir views Shomer as purely contractual. So I think that probably, you know, there has to be a different route to explain the difference. I mean, even after I said what I said, Zach, it's still a question of why don't you say that the mechayev of the onsen is the meshicha that you make as a shomer, as a shoel. And by the way, the question could be asked as well, is the same thing true for onsen versus geneva and aveda, or pshia? What?
It seems that the halacha that you have to pay, you have to give back the item.
Right.
Is mashma that it's you're not taking the item and now you're chayav on tzachayis, you're just borrowing it, or when you steal it, you.
Well, that's what Moshe was saying. He wanted to say that. That the mizonos of the animal is part of a contract, but what's happening by a shoel is that when something happens to it, he's kone it right then, and now he has to pay. Right? Which is, that's a very reasonable svar. My observation simply that the shomer by their very nature is really contract. It's the one thing that Rav Meir agrees is subject to modification. Right? Normally, the reason why we say that choshen mishpat is so flexible is because fundamentally most dinim and choshen mishpat are either an agreement between two parties or on some level even an agreement of society. I don't know if anybody discusses the issue, but one could imagine a takana being made, and it should carry the force of really a din d'oraisa to allow certain kinds of nezek b'rishus harabim. I suspect if you learn the sugyas, you may find such things. And you can even see there are such things. The Chachamim allowed people to put their zevel on the Rishus HaRabim, so people trample on it. And then there's a question, what if it's Mazik and so on? Right, but one could envision them putting the Shasarabim and saying that you're Patron and Nesek. And the reason why you're Patron, you could see it going either way. But you could say you're really Patron and Nesek, and that works Midin Torah, is because to some extent, Nizdakin Rishasarabim is a social part of a social contract. Right? Dine Mamonos is fundamentally a social contract. And on some level, not always, but what the Torah provides is the default option, but it's subject to modification by the parties involved. So between two Yechidim, that is virtually always the case. You know, on a Tzibur level, it's a little bit trickier. So in some sense, all of it is contracts, but I would say that I have, you know, by Chosem, I have your animal for the day. I'm obligated to feed it. That's not a function of any particular time of the day. That function has to go back to the time of the Sheila. But the obligation, Omsen Moshe maybe is correct, that it really is a function, really, in other words, again, you're chayev by virtue of the Sheila, but until something happens to the animal, you're just supposed to return the animal. When something happens to the animal, that's when, in effect, you're kona the animal. You're not, you know. I don't think, by the way, I don't know if Al Pidin, let's say the animal dies. I think the din is the following. Let's say the animal drops dead. Ones, and I'm as a shol chayv to pay. Am I allowed to keep the animal and pay you cash? I think the answer is no. I could be wrong. I think you're entitled to. I'm certainly entitled to pay you with the nevela and supplement whatever else it's worth, because all metaltalim is metav, and even if you treat shoel as one of the avos nezikin, one of the 24 avos nezikin in the brisa of Baner Bechira Boshaya, it's metav, and you can pay with nevela and whatever and supplemented. The question is, are you entitled to the nevela? I think the answer would be yes. Actually, the only time we say that a shina is kona is. It's unclear. Maybe an Uman is Kona, but well, that's unusual. But a Ganav is Kona Bashina. But I think that if I have, in other words, if, let's say I have the, I'm a Shomer for you, and something happens to the object, let's say there's a diamond, there are diamonds here, and the diamonds get scratched in a way that constitutes a Shinoi, but they're still very unusual diamonds. So obviously the value I have to pay you. But the question is, can I say, well, let's say, I'm happy to pay you the value. I want the diamonds. Can I say that I want, since a shiner happened, they're mine? I think the answer is no, because I'm not kona b'shiner stam. I'm only kona b'shinoi if I'm a ganav or something, maybe an uman in certain cases. Yeah.
Yeah, so could you say maybe that he's not kona from the ones, but rather she'ela is a type of kinyan, and like you're actually becoming the owner now. And therefore, whenever the ones happens, then you're chayav.
Well, that's what Rav Papa's not saying. I always like to explain that she'ela is a little bit like, is like a purpose. and explain something. What's the one thing that you put the run on she'ela? Mesa mechamas malacha. If it dies in doing work, why is the shomer put on that? He's chayav on sin. Why is he put on mesa mechamas malacha? Did you get it?
It would have happened anyway.
Onus would have happened anyway also. The lightning would have struck it also. That's not Mesa Mechamas, not Mesa Mechamas Malacha, Mesa Mechamas Malacha. Alex?
That's what he boarded for.
And therefore, using Moshe's idea, why am I Pata from paying? If She'ela is a Kenyan, it's Mechach Taos. I was borrowing, quote-unquote, buying from you an animal that was roy to do work. If the animal dropped dead plowing the first furrow in the field, so that I should be able to turn around and say to you, you know, that you should start to say, sorry, accidents happen. Yeah, accidents happen. If the animal is walking on the road and there's a mud pit that nobody could see and it trips in it and breaks its neck, or lightning strikes the animal, that's an onus. But if, what happens when you buy an object and you take it home, you go to the dealership, you buy the car, you drive it off the lot, you park a block away because you realize you wanted to go back and get something from the dealership, or maybe even you park right in front of the dealership after you drove away, and now lightning strikes your car. Whose loss is it?
Yours.
If it happened 5 minutes before, as you were doing the paperwork in the dealer's office and lightning struck the car, whose loss is it? The dealer's. They haven't delivered it to you yet. Right? That's the way it is. Life's tough sometimes. So the point is that I agree. I've always liked to think of Sheila in certain. It's not a regular Kenyan because you're obligated to return the object as long as it's been, but it's a Kain Kenyan. And that's why you're Chayv and Onsen, because it's just like you own the object. It's life. Sometimes, you know, bad things happen. It's the way it is. But if anything, that's still going to more point. That's going to point to the opposite of a Papa. That's going to say that an Onsen, you're really mischayev Bishas HaSheila, not what happens later. As you'll see in a moment in the Gemara, it's a it's a machlokas in two lashonos, whether they agree with Rav Papa or not. And it looks like from the letters, I didn't look it up in the Shar Mitzvah, that we paskin like our svara. That it's, in other words, if we were to argue that the chiv and onsen function is a product of the shasa ones, not mishasa she'ela, then you and I would be wrong in viewing she'ela as a mekach.
Wait, but if she'ela is a mekach, like if I buy a car and then 5 years later something happens to it,
yeah,
then like it's still the chiyuv comes from the shasa ones.
Well, if you buy a car, there's no chiyuv. It's life's tough.
Right. So maybe that's what it is by she'ela. Life is tough. It's like you bought the car.
Agreed. No, agree. That's what I'm saying. I'm supporting.
Doesn't work with Rav Papa?
No, because Rav Papa's suggestion is that if an onus happens, it's not a function of the original she'ela. It's a function of what happens now. And therefore, what does it matter? It matters that if it's a function of the chiyuv to pay for the onus by she'ela as a function of when the onus happens, and when the onus, in quotes, happens, I'm chay misa for creating that onus called tricha, I'm pata because of some labor the rabbi minei. Whereas if you were to say that the chiyuv to pay for the onus stems from the original she'ela, and if I cannot return the object for whatever reason, I cannot return it other than meisa machmas malacha, I am chayiv to pay because I borrowed it from you, and the she'ela creates the hischayivus no matter what happens. So if that's the case, so then I understand why you wouldn't say kamlei b'derabamineh. So that's what the Gemara is going to say in the two lashonos that you're about to read, is that one lashon is like Rav Papa and one lashon is not like Rav Papa. Yes.
I was confused for a second.
But I'm pointing, I didn't look it up, but if the letter in the Amishnah Mitzvah is placed in the correct point, so then you and I might still be correct. As you can advance our theory. If you held like Rav Papa, you can't advance our theory, because the chiv on the onus is not a product of the she'ela, it's a product of the onus. Yes?
I was confused, Rabbi. Did you conflate onus and tvicha?
Yes. In this case, we're going to term it, for the moment, anything that happens to the animal that renders it unreturnable. A shawl is chayiv on shia, and he's chayiv on gemer aveda, and he's chayiv on his masiket, which is, I guess, shia, and he's chayiv on onus.
And we're just calling all of those onus.
For these purposes, in our discussion, on anything the shomer has to pay, what is the mechayiv, the she'ela, or the ma'ora, we may call it that. Okay, so now, when I do sugyas like this, it reminds me how, I couldn't do what I do for a living, I'd want to be a judge. Okay. Doing legal theory. Or a law school professor. Okay. I guess I am a law school professor, just a different kind of law school. That's all. All right. Anyway, so go ahead.
I'm a rabba. Haniach lahen abien para shu'ula. Mishkamshim ba kol yimei she'ilata. Meta. In chayav bonsa.
And this is really, 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 really interesting. I don't understand this fully as much as I would like, but since it's not our sugya, it'll have to suffice for the moment. A person died, and he had a parah she'ula on his estate. The children, let's say they know it's a, they don't know it's a parah she'ula, they're just going to use it because they don't know it's a parah she'ula. But let's say they know it's a parah she'ula, they're allowed to use it the entire period of the she'ula. Stam she'ula is for, I think I'm on 30 days. So, Stam Havash, Shloshim Yom. I don't know what Stam She'ela is. But let's say the She'ela was for a period of 30 days, whatever it was. They're allowed to use it during that time. Okay? Then if what happens? Mesa.
In Chayav and Onsa.
Which is very interesting. They're not Chayav and Onsa. Why not? So Rashi here says, because the Inulav Sho'ala Ninu'ala, they weren't the ones who were Sho'ala it. Now, here's a crucial point. So if you're not, so they're using it, but they weren't shoel, which makes it sound like the chiyuv on the onus is what's mechayiv you to pay for the onus?
The transaction.
The she'ela. Right? The transaction, the she'ela. Okay. But and therefore, all right, so let's continue now. Kisvurin.
Kisvurin shaviyem hi, v'tapchua v'achlua, mishamim dmei basar mizol.
Okay, so let's say they thought it was their father's, and they shecht it, so they're not at fault. So why did they pay dmei basar mizol? What is the principle here? We learned this already this year. If they were considered ganavim b'shogeg, what would they pay? Full value. But they only pay demei basar bezol. Cheap meat. Why? Why are they not considered ganavim b'shogeg?
Because they had it.
They had it beheta. Why are they not liable for everything in it because they were mazik? The answer is because they weren't the shoel. There's the onus. This is like an onus almost. The onus, in quotes, that happened to it happened because they didn't know about, you know, that it was their father's, and that it wasn't their father's, and therefore they're not chayiv on the onus as we saw before. So why then do they pay anything, guys? Come on. Come on, you can do better than this. What? Zenen evizechaser. Right? The bottom line is that if my behema eats your grain in the Rosh Hasharabim, even though I am pater because for Shane, because Shane and Regal and Rosh Hasharabim are peturim, nonetheless, I'm still chayiv to pay that now, because it's zenen evizechaser. So how you calculate tana? What fodder would you feed the animal? That's a separate discussion. But you have to pay, in this case, the main basar bezol, because they got a lot of benefit. They got to eat meat. But cheap meat wouldn't have given them the same fundamental benefit, and therefore that's what they pay. Okay. Hiniach lahem. Okay. If their father left land, then they have to pay. Why?
Because the land connects to the she'eva.
No.
No.
You're skipping a step. What? Yes, it's because it's a shibud, but what does that mean? What does the achrayas nechasim do?
Makes you be able to take it out of that field. So
it means the father's paying.
Correct. It means that the chov can now be connected to the father, who is connected to the she'ela. Right? In other words, from the father's vantage point, when an onus happens to it, he's chayav to pay. He's dead, but that's okay, because his nechasim are mishibadim. And as the father had a chiyuv, misha sheila, it looks like, a chiyuv misha sheila to pay. So now the question is, to which case does this apply? Does this apply both to the case of Mesa Nachaya Bonseha, or does it even apply to Tvahuha Vachaluha? Now, what's the difference between Tvahuha Vachaluha versus Nensa? So from the vantage point of the children, the answer is probably nothing. But from the vantage point of the father, there's a very big difference. What would the difference be? I thought it's backwards, actually. But the from the father's vantage point, onus might or might not go back to the original time. There's what to discuss. But it seems, from the way the Gemara understands things, and Tosus says something similar to that by Mesa, it seems that if you are worse, if it's not just an onus, but you are in fact really responsible for doing so, then that goes back to the original Shela. The question is why? I don't know why. I'm sorry?
But does it go back to the beginning, or is there not the chamor of the two?
The way the Gemara will understand in one lashon that the tvicha goes back to the original shah, and that the father's mischayev in, but the onus does not. So, in other words, for whatever the reason is,
if Nensa, Mesa, so then they're not Chayev Onsa. If they shecht it, they're not chayev to pay the damage. They only pay what the hana they got. But if the father left land, then in one or both of these cases, the estate has to pay. So now the Gemara says, which case does they have to pay in? So, Ika da Amre, Ika da Masni La.
Yeah, Ika da Masni La. Sorry. Ika da Masni La Resha, Ika da Masni La Seifa. Mandamasi La Resha, Kosha Kema Seifa. Upliga to Rab Papa.
Okay. Wait, and I have this totally backwards in my head, so I'm going to have to scratch what I just said, I think. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that would all make sense, right? The, if you say, no, maybe I did say it right. If you say that this statement, Hiniach Lehem Achrayas Nechasim, applies even in cases of onsen, and certainly in cases of tevicha, so what are you saying about the chiyuv of onsen? When does that come into being?
At the shah shela.
And how do you know it comes in shah shela, not in the shah's ones?
Because you're chayv to pay with the father's land.
And the shah's ones, the father is dead, and you can't impose a chiyuv upon the father after he's dead. Whereas Mandamasi La Seifa,
Mandamasi La Seifa, Aval Resha Lo.
Right. Now the other version is no. That it's true when it comes to Shtvacha Tafchu, that you have to pay from the Chayas Nechasim, because that goes back to the original obligation. But in the Resha of where it was simply an Ones in the Sheila. So there, even if the father left Nechasim, you don't collect from the Yerushim, which would suggest that the Chiyuv Onsen comes only at the time of the Ones, not Mishah She'ela, and V'hainu...
V'hainu de Rav Papa.
V'hainu de Rav Papa. Yeah, that, is, in fact, is Rav Papa's din. Okay. Fine. That was a distraction. Now we get to go back to our sugya. We now have machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Meish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Kan kishu hisrubo, kan kishu lo hisrubo." Meish Lakish says, "Masnisan Rabbi Meir, the Amar Adam Loke Mishalin." And where were we left in terms of what about Bito? What about Bito? How do you explain if our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir? What do you do with Rabbi Meir? That Baal Bita was Potem Nation's Chayim in Asho, Shenemar, Veloye Ason, Anon Shianesh, Amason, you have an Asatana Vetachas Nothesh. So, how do you deal with the problem?
Lokum Mashalim versus
Mito Mashalim. Right. Lokum Mashalim, but Ainan Amesa Mashalim. Rapapa, Rabba on this daf, on this Amud, and starting at the bottom of the previous Amud, Rabba, believes that no, that Rabbi Meir is Machayev. Misa and Knas, not Misa Mamot, Misa and Knas. And if that's the case, Hadron Kushila Duchta, what do you do with Rabbi Meir Abito? The Gemara will get to that in an Amud. In the meantime, the Gemara says, thank you, Moshe. Who else would like to be a volunteer in the spirit of volunteerism?
Which is not exclusive to Kempstone.
I don't know if Yehuda will be happy he was mentioned in Shir or happy that we're unhappy that we're encroaching upon his uniqueness. Metzger, please. Rabbi Yochanan. Ishlama Rabbi Yochanan.
So
what does that mean?
So Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is still worse because he's definitely not holding like Rish Lakish. He's holding like
Rabbi Yochanan. Why did Rabbi Yochanan not go down the Rish Lakish road? To say that the Mishnah was Rabbi Meir.
Because he holds like Rabbanan.
Why? Not because he holds like the Rabbanan.
Because it's better to make it like Rabbanan.
Yeah. If you have a choice of making the anonymous Mishnah in the Rabbanan Rabbi Meir, easy choice. I know Rabbi Meir is the Stam Mishnah, but nonetheless. So that's what it says. Bishlama Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kashlakish, not the Kasavar Lakarabanam, but the Kamokim Lakarabanam. Ella, go ahead.
Rishlakish, my Tamil Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so the Western Kashlakish is the same thing.
So really, this is the Nekudas HaMachlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, which is namely, in three words, no more, no less, Chayvei Malkio Shogigin. That's the Machlokas. Is there such a concept of Chayvei Malkio Shogigin? Like there is Chayvei Misa Shogigin. That's the only question. Okay, so the Gemara explains. The Azdu L'Tamayu.
Azdu L'Tamayu. The Chiyater Ravdimi Amar. Chavi Mito Chogin. Chavi Makov Chogin. Vidavaracher.
This should be translated now. Chavi Misa Shogin. Chavi Makov Shogin. Vidavaracher. How do you translate that? How do you parse that? Rashi points it out. What does he say? A or B in parentheses and C. That was for the computer people, but okay, A or B, in it. Open parentheses A or B, close parentheses and C. It's either Chayvei Misa Shogin Mamon or Chayvei Malkia Shogin Mamon. Either way, so Rabbi Yerdimi says is a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar.
Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, Rishakish Amar Patur.
So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, go ahead.
Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay. Right. I suspect that most of us would like Rabbi Yochanan Shita better, out of sense of fairness to the person who's going to lose his money. But note here, by the way, the Gemara, which will backtrack or quote a different lashon of Rabbi Yochanan, but the Gemara here, Rabbimi's understanding, is that. Is that you never say Chayvei Misa Shogin, Chayvei Malkio Shogin. And the beauty in that, of course, is what? It makes Kamalei Ben Rabbi Yehuda so much easier to understand. Kamalei Rabbi Yehuda says that Beis Din doesn't give you two punishments. If you're not getting one punishment, then of course Beis Din gives you the other. I burn your house down on Shabbos, and there's no Hasra, so I have to pay for burning down your house. So the moral to the story is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, Reish Lakish's position, I know I still say this is a joke, if you're going to burn someone's house, better off doing it on Shabbos when there's no Hasra, you know, and no Mises Beis Din, so you'd be Patur Chai Mises Shogin. There's a term for that in law. Or in law and society. Not a loophole. It's the same mistake. What's that? It's the same mistake that the government made when it bailed out all the Wall Street firms in 2008. Not Chotinisko was not the issue. Mitzat, you're right, that's part of the issue, but that's not it. It's called a moral hazard. Right? It's a moral hazard because the same thing will repeat itself. You can sure bet your every dollar you have, I mean, don't bet. Well, you could just give it to them, they'll bet it for you. But you can sure bet that it's probably going to happen again in the next 5, 10, or 15 years. The same thing's going to happen because the banks aren't any smaller. And what they learned very well from the last time is, if they're too big to fail, the government won't let them fail, and the taxpayers will bail them out once again. So that could be the same critique level theory, in theory, Reish Lakish's position of Chayvei Mises and Chayvei Malkio Shogin, that you're providing an incentive, you know, to do things in a slightly perverse way where the person gets off the hook completely. He neither gets Misa for Shabbos, nor does he get, you know, Mamon. In other words, Bisman Hazeh, according to this version of the Machlokas, you can run wild on Shabbos doing damage. Just make sure you do some Chilul Shabbos at the same time, right? Either that the damage itself is Chilul Shabbos, or you get Ravashi in there. Karashira and Shochavera. Okay, so again, I don't know that that's that great a moral hazard, right? I'd like to believe that people are not going to be Mechal Shabbos, burn people's houses down Dafka on Shabbos, just so they can avoid Kamalei B'dei Rabbi Meir. You know, they could use Kamalei every day to pot and social moments. But nonetheless, that has raised the question on our minds, is that really fair? Moshe?
Yeah, is that a valid argument within the Gemara?
Yes. Because that is, I mean, think what Shua said on Selam Olah, that is Chotein Iskar. Right, the question of why, if I whack you really hard, I pay Mama, but if I hit you very lightly, I end up getting, you know, but hitting, I get Malchus, right? Isn't that like a perverse incentive? Isn't that chote nisko? And the only reason it's not chote, it's true, legabe you, you might be getting off with a lesser punishment by hitting me harder, but legabe me, at least I'm getting compensated. If we would apply Malchus, even when you hit me hard and did a lot of damage, then I would be out the money. So as chote nisko is mitigated by other concerns. But by the case of chilul Shabbos, if I burn down your house on Shabbos and I don't get any punishment because it was Shabbos, and that makes it not possible to get the mamon, but I'm not chayiv anything for Shabbos either because there's no edim or there's no hasra, there's no beis din to give the death penalty. So that mamish is chotei nisko with no offsetting factor.
Okay, got it.
Zach.
Shouldn't it say that Yochanan is pater deha lo mace?
It means because he got. I think it's formulated kankish hisrubo, kankish lo hisrubo, and once you say that, that's why the outgrowth of hisrubo is or lo hisrubo is they can't give him a punishment. You're right. The language is a. It is an odd formulation. Note, by the way, also Rabbi Yochanan didn't say this. I'm not suggesting this is not what Yochanan holds. This is just your kasha is within the Gemara's formulation, and the Gemara may be borrowing from Rabbi Yochanan's Ukimta formulation. Okay. Fine. Eisvei.
Eisvei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Lo yasun amish yanish. Ela osun amish. Lo dinasra.
So what was the kasha? What was the teretz? The Gemara will flip it around, but nothing substantially different. What was the kasha? The pasuk says v'lo yasun. Therefore, what?
There.
What does asam mean? I assume asam means asam. Asam amish. There is no death. What's his raya?
My asam, so that there's no asam means that there should be something else in his place, i.e. something else that happened.
Some other punishment?
Some other punishment in his place. My asam amish lo di asam. So hence, if there's no, there is
no. No, I don't think so. My lav ason mamish means the Torah says im lo yia ason. Period. If the woman doesn't die, then you pay money. But if there's an ason, you don't pay money. That doesn't mean you're getting the death penalty. It just means she died. So the Gemara says, no, din ason. Not the time that you pay money. It's not when it wasn't an asam. It could have been an asam and you still pay money. What's crucial is that there was no din asam, that you weren't given the punishment for asam. So as if you strike a pregnant woman and you don't get the punishment for asam, then you pay money. That includes even chayvei misa shokakim. Okay. Ika da amrei.
Ika da amrei. If it reveals another shlakish, the boy asam of shenish. My lab din asam, lo asam. So, this is the
exact opposite
before.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. So, we'll stop at this point. Tomorrow, we will hopefully move relatively quickly to the end of the sugya and then start to come back and pick up some of the inyanim I want to do. What I would just conclude by noting is that the Gemara assumes up until this point is that there really is a machlokas across the board. And in fact, Rav Dimi said this. This is not an extrapolation. Rav Dimi quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Ravin is going to quote Rabbi Yochanan differently as being moded to Chayvei Misa Shogin, only argued by Chayvei Malka Shogin. But one does have to consider seriously the possibility there is a shita that there is no such thing as Chayvei Misa or Chayvei Malka Shogin, which again, at least for the moral hazard question, actually makes life a lot simpler. Okay.